Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 3, Text 15. Sa Vai Bhagavato Raja Pandaveyo Maharataha Bala Kridanakaihi Kridan Krishna Kridam Yaadade Savai Bhagavato Raja Pandaveyo Maharataha Balakridanakai Kridan Krishna Kridam Yaadade Saha He Vai Certainly Bhagavataha, a great devotee of the Lord. Raja, Maharaj Parikshit. Pandaveyaha, grandson of the Pandavas. Maharataha, a great fighter. Bala, while a child. Kridanakaihi, with play dolls. Kridan, playing. Krishna, Lord Krishna. Kridam, activities. Yaha, who? Adade, accepted. Maharaj Parikshit, the grandson of the Pandavas, was from his very childhood a great devotee of the Lord. Even while playing with dolls, he used to worship Lord Krishna by imitating the worship of the family deity. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 6.41, it is stated that even a person who has failed in the proper discharge of yoga practice is given a chance to take birth in the house of devout brahmanas or in the houses of rich men like kshatriya kings or rich merchants. But Maharaj Parikshit was more than that, because he'd been a great devotee of the Lord since his previous birth. And as such, he took his birth in an imperial family of the Kurus, and especially that of the Pandavas. So from the very beginning of his childhood, he had the chance to know intimately the devotional service of Lord Krishna in his own family. The Pandavas, all being devotees of the Lord, certainly venerated family deities in the royal palace for worship. Children who appear in such families, fortunately, generally imitate such worship of the deities, even in the way of childhood play. By the grace of Lord Sri Krishna, we had the chance of being born in a Vaishnava family, and in our childhood, we imitated the worship of Lord Krishna by imitating our father. Our father encouraged us in all respects to observe all functions, such as the Ratayatra and Dolyatra ceremonies, and he used to spend money liberally for distributing prasad to us children and our friends. Our spiritual master, who also took his birth in a Vaishnava family, got all inspirations from his great Vaishnava father, Thakur Bhaktivinod. That is the way of all lucky Vaishnava families. The celebrated Mirabai was a staunch devotee of Lord Krishna as the great lifter of Govardhan Hill. The life history of many such devotees is almost the same, because there's always symmetry between the early lives of all great devotees of the Lord. According to Jiva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit must have heard about the childhood pastimes of Lord Krishna at Vrindavan, for he used to imitate all the pastimes with his young playmates. According to Sridhar Swami, Maharaj Parikshit used to imitate the worship of the family deity by elderly members. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti also confirms the viewpoint of Jiva Goswami. So, accepting either of them, Maharaj Parikshit was naturally inclined to Lord Krishna from his very childhood. He might have imitated either of the above-mentioned activities, and all of them establish his great devotion from his very childhood, a symptom of a Mahabhagavata. Such Mahabhagavatas are called Nitya Siddhas, or souls liberated from birth. But there are also others who may not be liberated from birth, but who develop a tendency for devotional service by association, and they are called Sadhana Siddhas. There's no difference between the two in the ultimate issue, and so the conclusion is that everyone can become a Sadhana Siddha, a devotee of the Lord, simply by association with the pure devotees. The concrete example is our great spiritual master, Sri Narad Muni. In his previous life, he was simply a boy of a maidservant, but through association with great devotees, he became a devotee of the Lord of his own standard, unique in the history of devotional service. Savai Bhagavato Raja Pandaveyo Maharataha Bala Kridanakai Kridan Krishna Kridam Yaadade. We understand that, or we see practically, children have different tendencies. Every child is different. Every child has his own nature and his own qualities and his own bent. Some children are by nature cruel. Children are by nature cruel to some extent, but some children are exceptionally cruel. The archetypical example was King Vena, who used to play with his childhood friends, and as children tend to get into fights, he would fight with his childhood friends and strangle them to death. Yeah. He'd play with his friends and kill them. Demonic nature. In the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says that some are born with the divine nature and some are born with the demonic nature. So Vena Maharaj, from the very beginning, showed his acquired nature. And Parikshit Maharaj also, from the very beginning of his life, showed his nature. So that nature comes from our previous condition. We understand why. Why should all children be different? Why aren't they all just the same? Why don't they all come out same color, same shape, same level of intelligence, same interests? Why all these varieties? Why some are some healthy and some unhealthy and some mean and some very gentle? It's not simply by arbitrary chance, which means no reason. When you say chance, no reason. Chance doesn't cause anything to happen. Chance is just a description. But we don't really know. It's just Nothing in the universe happens just by chance, just because, for no reason. Our children have different natures because they have different backgrounds. It's not that children are, as popularly conceived, clean slates. They have their background from their previous life. In the case of Parikshit Maharaj, that background was perfect. He was a pure devotee from the very beginning. Nitya Siddha means eternally perfect. He actually didn't have to do anything to become perfect. And from the very earliest childhood, he showed those tendencies. Children play with some plaything. And he was playing with Krishna. Maybe, yes. He would have some dolls and he would play with the Krishna activities, Krishna, everything Krishna. Now they have some, all these nonsense dolls, Barbie dolls and so on. But Krishna, Maharaj Parikshit was absorbed in thinking of Krishna. He was always looking, where is that person that I saw within the womb? Where is that wonderful person? Therefore he's called Parikshit. Parikshit means examining. He's examining everywhere. Where is that him? Is that him? Because he's always thinking of Krishna. Similarly, while playing, he was playing with the Krishna dolls and Krishna activities. We have two different opinions here. One is that he was imitating the deity worship in his family that he would have seen as a child. And the other is that he was imitating the activities of Krishna that he would have heard in his childhood at home. Either way, he was absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and his family was absorbed in Krishna consciousness. His family was worshipping the deity of the Lord. His family was talking about the activities of Krishna. The atmosphere was surcharged with Krishna consciousness. And so the child was absorbed in that same atmosphere. Of course, in his case, even if the atmosphere had been adverse, he still would have been absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Prahlad Maharaj was not born into a very favorable family. His father was anti-Krishna. But still, the child was absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So it can happen that way also. But generally, we see, as mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, that the person who executed Krishna consciousness in the previous life gets the opportunity to take birth again. Shuchinam Shrimatam Gehe Yoga Vrashtri Jayate. Either in a wealthy family or in a Brahminical family. Atava Yoginam, what is that? Kule bhavati dhimatam. Atava yoginam eva kule bhavati dhimatam. Etadhi durlabhataram. Loke janma yad idrisham. Or very rarely, a very fortunate child is born in the family of yogis, transcendentalists. Atava yoginam eva. The Pandavas were the best of all yogis. Yoginam api sarvesham, madgatin antaratmana, shraddhavan bhajate yomam, same yuktatamomata. They were on the highest platform of yoga because they were engaged in devotional service. They were better than the stereotypical yogis executing tapasya in the Himalayas. They were directly engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, and they were so intimately connected with the Lord, that they were engaged directly in the Lord's pastimes, in his personal association. This is the perfection of yoga. And Parikshit Maharaj got the opportunity to take birth in the house of such exalted yogis or devotees of the Lord. So it was a great opportunity for him. And Srila Prabhupada comments that he also got the same opportunity in his childhood. He got to, his family was a family of devotees. He was taking part in Krishna Krida, Krishna's activities from his very childhood. The deity was there, Radha Govinda, and he used to see from the very beginning. So one time some reporter was trying to extract from Srila Prabhupada the answer as to when he attained enlightenment. Wanted to get the story, sir, when did you attain enlightenment? And he was very respectful to Srila Prabhupada and very humble. But Prabhupada wasn't directly answering the question. And the reporter would clear his throat and say something like, I'm sure it's my own ignorance that I don't understand, but what I'm getting at is... And finally Prabhupada answered the question. He said, you can say from my very childhood. You can say from my very birth, from my very childhood. He said, actually I don't remember any time in my life when I was not Krishna conscious. Yeah, I don't remember any time in my life when I was not Krishna conscious. This is the topmost good fortune. How would we all like to be able to say, I don't remember any time in my life when I was not Krishna conscious? How many of us have things that we would love to forget about our previous life? So see the difference between an ordinary conditioned soul and a person like Maharaj Parikshit or Srila Prabhupada or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Never in their life was there a time when they forgot Krishna, when they weren't thinking of Krishna. Such an exalted position. That's called Nitya Siddha. Never out of Krishna consciousness, ever. And then Srila Prabhupada mentions that there's also Sadhana Siddha, which means perfection attained by following the process of devotional practice. And the example is Narad Muni, who came in association of great devotees and began hearing from them and accepted a little prasadam and became Narad Muni. And Prabhupada comments that in the final analysis, there's no difference. Whether you're Nitya Siddha or you're Sadhana Siddha, you're Siddha. If you're perfect, you're perfect. It doesn't matter whether you became perfect, you always were perfect. If you're on the platform of perfection, what is there to quibble about? Perfection is perfection. So we don't make a kind of mundane distinction. Well, he's Nitya Siddha, but he's only Sadhana Siddha. No such mundane calculation. Even Kaviraj Goswami in his Chaitanya Charitamrita, speaking about the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, says, I can't say who's higher and who's lower. He says, this person is a great devotee of the Lord, this person is an exceptionally great devotee of the Lord, this person is the greatest devotee of the Lord. But he says, actually, there's no question of higher and lower. They're all engaged in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ye bhaje seva. Whoever is engaged in the service of the Lord is great. Abhaktahin char. And those who are non-devotees they're wretched. That's the final position. Of course, among devotees, there are different levels of practice. There are those who are just in the neophyte stage, prakritabhakta. There are those who are in the intermediate stage, madhyamadhikari. And there are those who are in the topmost stage, mahabhagavata. And we're recommended to be able to distinguish between different levels of devotees, and particularly to seek the association of the Mahabhagavatas, the most advanced devotees of the Lord, hear from them and serve them. That will help us the most. One is not advised to seek the association of those who are less advanced. That won't help us. I want to come from the platform I'm on to a higher platform, not remain where I am or sink to a lower position. I want to come to the higher position. So for that, I should seek the association of higher devotees. In the Nectar of Devotion, one of the 64 principles of devotional service is to associate with devotees who are considered more advanced. That should be our policy. Who's advanced? Those who are always engaged in hearing and chanting about Krishna, serving Krishna. Majjita madgata prana bodhyanta paraspara katiyantas chama nityam tushanti cha ramanti cha. Not the Prajalpa crowd. Not the people who spend their time thinking up newer and newer insults to post on the internet. Not the people who have the most difficulty following the basic regulative principles. No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex. Not the people who have trouble following the chanting the prescribed number of rounds every day. Not the people who are relishing movies, television. Not those who are struggling even more than we are with the material energy. But those who are, who've broken free from that, or who never had such attachments, or never had such obstacles, and who are executing devotional service nicely, to a better standard than we, that will help us more. We understand that someone will be more advanced, someone's less advanced. It's not that that those who are less advanced should be shunned, neglected, but they should be helped. That's mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami, that those who are less advanced than us, we should try to help. The advanced devotees are always kind and merciful to the less advanced devotees. So otherwise if we say that we'll only associate with more advanced devotees, then who'll do anything for the less advanced? But it's not that the more advanced devotee goes slumming with the less advanced, that he looks for the opportunity now and then to have a break for prajalpa, for a break from the regulative principles or from serious devotional service. But he tries to help those who are less advanced. And it's mentioned, if they're not interested, then Vaishnava, if the third class devotees are not interested in following the process, then better to avoid them. That I'm less advanced is not a insurmountable disqualification. I may be less advanced, but if I'm willing to accept the process, I can become more advanced. Even if I have attachments, even if I have bad habits, even if I have so much taste for material life, if I'm serious about devotional service, if I'm serious about hearing from advanced devotees, if I'm serious about trying to progress to the higher stage, it's possible. It's possible. The process is there. So the advanced devotees are always kind and merciful to the less advanced and try to give them the opportunity for further progress. And the less advanced devotees who are fortunate take advantage of that association for making spiritual progress. They don't think, now here's a person I can get some material advantage from. They may think that way, but somehow or other they become attached to the association of devotees. And if they use it nicely, Narad Muni, he was just a child, not just a little boy, but he wasn't trying to cheat the Bhaktivedantas, he wasn't trying to get some material, you know, find out something in their baggage that he could steal. He was simply attracted to their sound vibration, to the atmosphere that they created among themselves by hearing and chanting about Krishna. So he became a great sage. So we should try to pick up the association of those who are more advanced, try to catch that. And we should associate with devotees who are similar to us, but that association should be for advancement. I may be on this level, I may be on this level, I may be on this level still lower, but whatever my level, I should be trying to advance. Not that if I'm on the bottom level, I try to imitate the person who's on the topmost level. That's pointless. But from my own position, if I sincerely follow the process and try to advance, make progress, then gradually I can come from the lower stage to the higher stage. Here it's mentioned, or here we can understand the great advantage of birth in a Vaishnava family. Those who are born in the families of Vaishnavas are very fortunate. They're not ordinary souls. Aneka janma, after so many births, they've come to this point. So they should be very carefully seen to, so that their assets with which they've begun life can be increased, so that those assets can turn into still greater assets, and their life will be successful in Krishna consciousness. Not that they should be neglected or treated as something that just gets in the way of spiritual activities. One Prabhupada one time told one mother that you're taking care of your child, that's your deity worship. Doesn't mean that your child is now the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But by performing that service, taking care of the child nicely, the child will be happy in Krishna consciousness. That's first-class service to the Lord. It's also implied here that the parents should be serious devotees. If I'm cheating, in the process, the effect will come. I used to have my English teacher, Mr. Bennett, in my school days, and he was a very nice man. He, of course, the kids would all goof off and play and throw things around and do things. But he used to tell us, he said, "I've told you before, and I'm telling you again. I've told you many times, and you'll always remember it." He said, "The test is going to come, and it all comes out in the wash." For those who are not from the West, "it all comes out in the wash" is an American or Western expression that means sooner or later the truth comes out. So that's Bennett's law. He was right on all counts. We still remember it, and it's true. It all comes out in the wash. So in our family life, we may cheat on Krishna consciousness. We may, in so many ways, be lax and unconcerned and think that, anyway, what's the harm? But the effect will be there in our own Krishna consciousness and in the Krishna consciousness of our children. Children are terribly sharp, in my experience as a child. Children are real sharp. They can spot hypocrisy from miles away. "Why are you telling me to do this when you don't do this? Why does Daddy say this when he's doing something else?" They're not stupid at all. They're very quick to pick these things up. They see right away the discrepancy between what you're saying and what you're doing, or what you're telling them to do and what you do yourself. So the example, Prabhupada always said, speaks louder than precept. If the example of the parents is that of genuine Krishna consciousness, then the child will pick up genuine Krishna consciousness as far as possible, best chance. And if the parents are faking it, then the child will also see that. I just heard, I guess I shouldn't tell the details, but I was just hearing from one of our devotees the life history of another devotee in which this point was illustrated. The parents were breaking the regulative principles, they're practicing Krishna consciousness and breaking the principle about intoxication. And the child grew up, basically ruined his life by intoxication and things that intoxication led to. So, therefore the parents have an interest, not only for their own sake, but for the sake of their children, in being seriously Krishna conscious. That will be good for the whole family. That will be good for the whole family. That should be an impetus, that now the child is there, we should be more serious. My brother-in-law, when he had his first child, he became a vegetarian. And not Krishna conscious, but he became a vegetarian, thinking, not because of anything to do with me, but thinking, you know, just thinking about deeper things in his life and what the future would be for his change. You know, just got more serious about how he was living his life and thought that he should become a vegetarian. With the result that his children became vegetarians, actually. So then, what to speak of devotees who are already serious about the deeper issues of life? If they take it as an impetus that now we have a child, so this should be a reason for us to be still more serious in devotional service. That will be good for us, that will be good for the child. The future will be so much better. Of course, in the case of the Pandavas, the whole family were spontaneously engaged in full love of Krishna in the service of the Lord. And such a fortunate devotee as Maharaj Parikshit took birth in that family. And from the beginning to the end, at the end of his life, he got the opportunity to meet another perfect devotee of the Lord, Sukadev Goswami, and hear from him the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Are there some questions? Comments? Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Is it working? Yes, it goes. That's the one for decoration, and over there is the one that works. Okay. See what this question is, that we've heard that Prabhupada said that not your children, but the children of your children will attain perfection, or they'll be so advanced they'll be able to light fires without mantras or something. Yeah, I've heard of these comments floating around. I'm not quite sure of their authenticity, to tell you the truth. And even if I was sure about their authenticity, I would question their context. Because sometimes Prabhupada would say something like, you know, your children's children will be able to light mantras without, light fires without, with just mantras. And it would be a kind of a jocular comment, you know, a humorous comment, not to be taken literally. So I would hesitate to base my worldview upon selected quotations of that sort from Srila Prabhupada. I would rely more steadily on the conclusions that he's given in Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and so on. Why do we have to wait a generation? I'm sorry, you know, you could have become a pure devotee of the Lord, but, you know, it's kind of like, who is it, Suruchi? Tough luck, if you'd only taken birth from my womb, you could have become the king. But since you took birth from the wrong wife, no deal. So, too bad, you took birth a generation too early. If you take birth one more time, you can come back in the Krishna consciousness movement, then you can, you know, light fires with mantras. You know, why? Why not this life? as the Prabhupada used to tell his disciples, that why wait for another lifetime? You should go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Is it possible? Yes, it's possible. So if his disciples, why not the children of his disciples or the children of any devotee? There's no, you know, window of time that if you come in this generation, then you can make it, otherwise not. Everyone. Okay. Something else? Mm-hmm. Want to send that mic over? That Lord Vishnu told Prithu Maharaj upon appearing in the sacrificial arena that if a person on the spirit, your spiritual standard deviates from, comes under the influence of material nature, then all of his progress is wasted. Yes, we see that practically. Someone's following regulative principles, chanting, getting up early in the morning, doing everything. But if he comes under the influence of Maya, he can again become what he was before, or still lower. We see that in our practical experience. Prabhupada said, gave the example that the leaf, while it's connected to the tree, is very green and pretty. But if disconnected from the tree, it becomes, you know, brown and withered and, you know, just garbage. So the same thing, if we remain connected with the process, connected with the spiritual master, connected with Krishna, then we're spiritually alive. And if we disconnect ourselves, then we become like dead men. Prabhupada said, you see their faces, he said, they again look like damn rascals. So now, whatever credit I have may again reappear in another birth, but that's called failure. Yoga brashta vijayate. Those who failed in yoga, he could have become perfect in that life, but he yoga chalita manasa. He was drawn away by something else, by Maya. So he fell. He fell. Bharat Maharaj became a deer due to attachment. So if we're, and the Upanishads say, like the razor's edge, a little inattention and you get cut. So it's not just a guarantee. Well, I've been a devotee for 5 years, 10 years, 30 years, all that chanting, so I'm on the safe side. Maya says, right on. You got it. And we fall down. It's not that now I've got so much credit that I can sort of coast through and reach the goal. I happened to be in Paris for the Rath Yatra on the day of the World Cup, and which was reached its conclusion in the last, anyway, after the Rath Yatra was over, and everybody was listening all up and down the street. And what had happened was, it was France against some other country, Italy or somebody, in the final competition, and it came down to the last 2 minutes of play or something, and the Italians basically were walking off with the trophy. They were so many points ahead, and all they had to do was, you know, just kind of make sure that for the last 2 minutes France didn't score a goal, and that was it. You know, they were practically already picturing themselves on the shoulders of their countrymen, you know, with the hero's welcome and all of that. And in the last 2 minutes, last 1 minute, whatever it was, somebody from France scored a goal. The game went into overtime. France walked off with the whole thing, and the whole street went, yeah! You know, they'd had it. It was all fine. It was all lined up. And, you know, they just coasted, but France came through. So Maya is more competitive than France. Maya runs France, as anyone who's ever served in France knows. Maya runs the place, runs every other place also. And she's a fierce competitor. So there's no room for thinking, well, now I just have to kind of make it through the next few years and not really screw up too badly and everything will be all right. Give myself a little slack. Miles, he's weak, get him. We should be careful. Such a valuable thing we've gotten, Krishna consciousness. So closely we should guard it. Just like we see here, you know, all those warnings are there during the Mayapur festival. If you have any valuables, be careful. And always there's somebody who's not careful who goes walking around with their passport or their money. And some slick thief gets it. Huh? So, and the rest of us think, I should be very careful with my money, I should lock it up, I should. So if we're that careful about our money, about our passports, about our airline tickets, how careful should we be about our Krishna consciousness? About our freedom from material existence, about our going back home, back to Godhead? Well, if I lose my Krishna consciousness, it's okay as long as I don't lose my passport. We should be so careful. Yes, Maji. Then why you've heard that sadhana siddhi is not available in Kali Yuga, only kripa siddhi. Then why are we doing sadhana? No. That quote appears entirely inauthentic. Of course, everything depends on kripa. Sadhana siddhi also depends on mercy. What is that? In Rupa Manjari Pada, that he's the my chanting, my perform following of the regulative principles, all by his mercy. So the spiritual master, his mercy is required. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. That my sadhana will not be effective without the mercy of the spiritual master. Yasya prasada nagatir kutopi. I'm doing my sadhana very nicely, but I'm neglecting my spiritual master. Then, without the mercy of the spiritual master, everything will be lost. So, sadhana siddhi is possible by the mercy of the spiritual master and the mercy of Krishna. Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tathagura. Tasyaite katita hirata prakashante. for a person who has full faith in Krishna and full faith in the spiritual master, everything, the full meaning of Krishna consciousness would be revealed. Otherwise, not that we simply wait for kripa, but a person who very diligently performs the sticks to the process of sadhana can expect the mercy of the spiritual master, the mercy of Krishna. Yes. Maybe if you ask in Bangla, and somebody who has a very good American English accent could ask in English. Okay. Nitya Siddha and Sajan Siddha. They're not different, yes. That sadhana siddha cannot occupy the position of nitya siddha. True. But sadhana siddha is coming from
the category of
marginal potency. Why not different? Yes. First thing is, yes, that sadhana siddha and nitya siddha can't be the same. Just like an American and a Bengali cannot be the same. A Bengali will never be an American. I mean, he can become an American, but you know, still he's a Bengali American. And an American will never become a Bengali, even if he becomes, you know, an American Bengali. He's the same. They're different. But when an American becomes Krishna conscious, and a Bengali becomes Krishna conscious, there is no difference. We don't say, well, he's Krishna conscious, but he's a Bengali. And he's Krishna conscious, but he's American Krishna conscious. American Krishna conscious and Bengali Krishna conscious, there's no difference. It's Krishna consciousness. Still the American is American, Bengali is Bengali. So it's like that. Someone is sadhana siddha, someone's nitya siddha. You can't switch them and say, yes, they're, each one is the opposite. But is there a difference? No, there's no difference. They're both engaged 100% in the service of Krishna. That's called perfection, siddha. So there's no groupism in the spiritual world that, we don't like to associate with them so much because they're the nitya siddhas over there. You know, they're siddha, but they're not quite sadhana siddha, so we don't like to mix with them. There's no such consideration on the spiritual platform. There's no difference. Even, there's no difference between the gopis and the cows. From one angle of vision, the gopis are in the highest position of madhur duras and for intense love for Krishna. But the grass is also loving Krishna. The cow is also loving Krishna. So on the absolute platform, the cow is as good as the gopi. Therefore Prabhupada so much was against this that we're only interested in the gopis. We're not interested in
Yashoda Mayi or Krishna Arjuna, these lower things. Prabhupada said, this is hellish consciousness. We make no distinction. And Krishna loves, the cow is loving Krishna, Radharani is loving Krishna, everyone is loving Krishna. We don't make this kind of distinction. From another angle of vision, even the marginal energy is a portion of Krishna's internal energy. From that, another angle of vision, even the external energy is manifested by the internal energy. The clouds are a manifestation of what? The sun. Without the sun, there's no cloud. So the cloud even is a manifestation of the sunshine. But it's that kind of manifestation that blocks the sunlight. So even the external energy is the manifestation of Krishna's internal potency. But it's that kind of manifestation that blocks our view of Krishna. Otherwise, from Krishna's point of view, the external energy is also engaged in his service. And the marginal potency, the living entities, are directly part and parcel of the chit-shakti, spiritual shakti. But they're called marginal on account of their tiny size. But they're also part of the, they belong to the internal energy of the Lord. They don't belong to the external energy. Although they're marginal and they can go that way, actually their rightful position is in the internal energy. But Krishna consciousness is the process by which the tiny marginal living being resumes his position as a tiny entity within the internal energy of the Lord. So when you're in that internal energy, then no one is making distinctions how you got there, whether you were always there, whether you were promoted there. It's all absolute. Is that okay? Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.